All right. So whenever you're ready.
I'm ready. Let's get this going.
Okay.
We're Stephanie-less.
Probably be a short chat.
Short, quick chat on the second part. Replay it. Shay, right?
Yes. Is his name. Yeah. Yep. Voiced by Elijah Wood.
Correct. And I'll start off. I thought it was... At first, I'm like, all right, what's going on? Because it just seemed like you could do the four radial quests of either getting hugs, going on a train ride, or what was the other one? Oh, eating ice cream.
Yeah, eating ice cream.
To and I did, though I have to say, I did figure out on the third train ride that if you shouted at the mountain twice, the bridge would retract, and that's what would kick off the difference for the rest of it.
Yeah.
Now, just out of curiosity, is that the only triggering thing? I mean, there's not like you do something in the ice cream land and that happens as well.
Or? I think it's only in the train ride.
Okay.
Because the track fails and you end up falling into the secret area. So
correct. With Mr. Wolf. We'll just call him Mr. Wolf, I guess.
Yeah.
I forget what his name was. He had a name.
Malik.
Malik, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah. I like the different cereal options.
Oh, what, for...
For breakfast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. With the spoon.
Yeah.
There's an achievement for... I didn't realize... I guess... I was going through some of the trophies, and there are a couple of wild ones for the spoon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I forget what it was. I thought, basically then with the wolf, he wants to rescue people from the universe, and... I got three both times. Can you get more than three?
I think it's only three.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Because I think if you try and go for more, it will just automatically progress once you get the three. If I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, navigating the ship after that was a little cumbersome. Almost, have to draw a map, but it was still like, I have to go through. Oh, all right, that's right, I have to go this way.
Yeah, I think the hardest puzzle for me was getting the space helmet to fit.
Yeah, between the transporters and getting it just with your toy. First of all, you had to find your toy space helmet from way back when in the trophy room, which has a lot of neat little trophies in it. And this is really well written. There's a lot of stuff you can look at, and he has smirky little comments to make, which is neat. The helmet, and I just lucked into that. And then after that, I realized, I forget what, it had to be the ice cream. No, not the ice cream one. The huggy thing where I found the knife.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like, oh, okay, now we have to go back to these areas and find something that helps you along your way. Although I had to look up the thing for the ice cream. I didn't realize there was a whipped cream dispenser or something.
Yeah, you needed the... Because you needed that for the oxygen?
Well, the oxygen was that little belt, the tank. Where did that tank come from? I forget.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah, the whipped cream was for the propulsion. That's right.
Yes, to get you away from the mother's loving claw.
Yeah.
and then in the trophy room, you have to find the grabber thing, the grabber, game grabber.
Yeah.
You control the arms. Yeah. Yep. So, once you got that puzzle done, it was like, wow, this is slightly intricate.
So, now, did you play the whole way through until it went back to Vela, or...?
Yes.
Okay. And then did you continue on until the whole reveal at that point, or?
What I got to was I was on the beach. Did I switch back to Vela yet? No, I think I just stood there on the beach, and then switch over to Vela.
Okay, so you fought you fought the monster on the beach as Vela, or?
In the beginning, yeah, you fought it with the laser thing from the other ship.
Okay.
And then he falls in, Elijah Wood falls, it's called Elijah Wood, yeah. Hey, falls, I guess I don't know how he ended up in the monster, you know.
So, oh, you didn't pick that up? That the monster was actually the spaceship?
No, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you picking up people is, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't, yeah.
So now you ended with Vela going into the ship or the monster?
Yes.
Okay, all
right. Right, so I have to just, when I start the game, I think I was still on Shay and I have to switch back to her.
Yeah, I think it'll switch back to Vela at that point, regardless.
So the spaceship was, I kind of was thinking that and I'm like, no, wait a minute, but what about the... And then I thought he fell into the... You know, he was pulled into the space... I was confused.
I do remember that laser beam thing being kind of annoying, too.
Yeah, it had to be right on it.
Yeah.
That wasn't very forgiving. Like, most of the other puzzles, it's like, once you got it solved, it just clicks into place.
Yeah. That's one of... Tim Schafer's like signature puzzles where you have to be like on the exact right spot to get it right. So
I was wondering just as I was going over it, is like I wonder if we get to meet the bull. I guess maybe, you know, if what's her name's Vela is in the ship, it'll be interesting how she interacts with the ship.
Yeah, it's kind of funny to get her reaction of the stuff that's in the ship.
Which means the six people. Oh, that's right. Well, there's only two. The monster only sucked up two at the beach place. Did it suck? No, it only sucked up two.
Yeah.
So. The knitting thing, I was like, oh, God.
Annoying.
I remember this pattern.
That was another annoying thing, too. Because
you had to find the... that's right. You had to find the stitching thing.
Yeah, and then you had to stop the stitcher and then run down and then change the pattern. Yeah. And yeah, so that was also another annoying puzzle.
I just wish it didn't make you run like 3/4 across the ship every time, you know.
I know, like that's it. Yeah, I mean that's the other problem too, and it's like this was trying to be too classic, like point and click adventure where you need one thing that's halfway across the level to interact with something that you're in right now. So it's like a lot of back and forth, and like that's one of my pet peeves with point and click adventure games, where it's just like, stop making me go back and forth to solve stuff. Like, just make it easier so I don't have to just keep running around to solve puzzles.
Put most of the, if not all of the relevant information in that area so you're not, you know.
Because then it's like, you're on a puzzle and you're having trouble, and then you're like running around into every single room checking everything to like make sure you didn't forget something.
Right.
And then that's even more annoying because you're trying to solve this puzzle and you're just like getting aggravated because you're trying to figure out what you're actually missing.
Right.
So.
Yeah, the other one we played, Grim Fandango, it you know, it's pieces, but you're not quite sure how the pieces are going to interact.
Yeah.
It's I don't want to say, you know, you don't want to be more straightforward. You want it to be a puzzle, but there are some things it's like, why the hell would you put that on top of that?
Yeah, I mean, with Grim Fandango 2, the first time around, it's frustrating because you're not quite sure what you're doing. But, you know, since I've played it so many different times, I can do it pretty efficiently without having to backtrack a lot of it, so.
Yeah. That's the one thing, yeah, the speed run on it is, after the first or second time, it's like,
yeah,
you know, you just blow right through it. But, no, I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I mean, I like the dialogue with the mother and the blow up doll to confuse the mother. And
yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
And, so yeah, I'm looking forward to now it's, I mean, it kind of like, I first, you know, like I said last week, you know, I was convinced that the guy in the other thing was just an older version of him, but it's like, no, they had two separate spaceships, so.
No, yeah, that's what I was thinking too, but no, you're also lucky though, because you get to jump right back in and play the next half. Since I was a Kickstarter backer, I got the first half and had to wait like 6 months to play the other half. So it was like,
sit in suspense.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, all right, what the hell's going on here? I need to know more.
Yeah. It's like playing, almost like playing, you know, the Telltale stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but, where it comes out every week. Yeah.
At least with like Telltale, it's every like month and a half. So right. It's not like you have that long of a wait, but with this, it was just...
It was 6 months. Yeah, that was...
So.
I paid my money. I want my...
Yeah, I know, exactly. But, I mean, so, you know, it's understandable what they did. And, again, like I said before, it was nice following this whole process along with the documentary that they were releasing. So, you kind of... It was really interesting, though, to see from the conceptual phase all the way to, you know, completion. And one of the issues that they had basically was that they had they ran out of money to finish the second half. So what they did was, they decided to release it as a part one. So that people would hopefully buy it and then they could get some more money coming in to finish the second half. And then also they had they had just released the the re-release of Grim Fandango or
the remastered one for like just the consoles and stuff maybe.
It was either that or one other game that they had, like, released that... Or it might have been Brutal Legend money that they had left over. It was some game that they had. I can't remember if it was Grim Fandango or if it was some other game that they had, like, residual money left over from. So they took money from that to borrow to finish making the game, and then also the money that they got from... the sales of the first half of Broken Age to finish it. So, but I mean, it was an interesting process watching them try and figure out how they were going to fund it and, you know, where the money was going to come from. And, you know, again, it's like, if you can find the documentary, it's really long because it's, I think 20 parts and each part's about 40 minutes long.
Wow!
Yeah, so
that's an epic. That's Game of Thrones.
Is. Yeah,
like.
But I mean, it's really fascinating to see them go through, like I said, the conceptual phase all the way to we're releasing the game finally phase. So it's if you're at all interested in game design and how games are made. Really kind of devote some time to sitting down and watching this.
That sounds interesting because I was, you know, as you were just describing this, I'm like, yeah, kind of need to find out, you know, do they, you know, do they have a story in mind from beginning to end and then figure out how they're going to present the story, or?
Yeah, it was kind of fun because Tim Schafer was showing off all of his notebooks that he used when he was working on the next game, and basically all his ideas and everything, and like stuff he was, you know, fooling around with for the game. You know, the one that he really showed off was Grim Fandango, and right. Like how he came up with the name, where he was just like playing around with a few things, and then he finally found one that he really liked, so he just wrote it really big in the notebook, and it ended up being Grim Fandango. But yeah, it's like he'll lock himself in his office and listen to like heavy metal as he's writing. So it's again, you know, if you can find it, I believe it's out there for free at this point.
But, okay, I'll have to do a little Googling.
Really, you know, check it out. It's going to take you a while to get through, but it's a really fascinating watch. So
cool. That's probably, you know, that was probably a little bit of money to do all that video work just to, you know, present all that.
Oh, I know. Two player productions, they did a pretty good job with doing that whole thing. So
yeah, that's interesting because I mean, obviously, what was the just out of curiosity, what was the budget number that, you know?
So they had raised $3 million on Kickstarter.
Wow.
Yeah. They were basically the game that really launched Kickstarter as a viable option or viable platform to have games made. Because they were the first company to raise like $3 million. They were the first Kickstarter to raise the most money on the platform. And then people saw that, you know, this seems pretty successful then. So, I mean, this is why you're seeing, like, all these games being kickstarted on Kickstarter now, so.
Right. It's interesting because, yeah, that's an interesting concept because it's like, I mean, when you want to, like, if you want to kickstart your second game, that's at least you have a kicking off point.
Yeah.
We did this, so why don't you invest in us and, you know, help us make number two. But that first one, boy, that must be a tough nut to crack.
Yeah. And the funny thing, though, is, too, watching the last documentary, it was really rather kind of bittersweet because the Kickstarter started in 2012. And they didn't end up releasing the game until, was it last year? Or the year
16,
before. Right. Yeah, so, I mean, it was like, you know, it took them 4 years to do this. And, you know, a lot changes in 4 years with someone's life.
Oh, sure, you always see the credits. Yeah, Game Babies and all that stuff.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it was just, like I said, it was a bittersweet because it was like four almost like like you were losing some like, friends that you visited, like, once a month or so. Or every, like, 4 months. So, you know, it was kind of sad to see it come to an end.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. So, I mean, it all depends obviously, if you work for... Well, that I'm getting the impression that at least big game-wise, major league game-wise, it's more of a hired guns kind of thing now, where it's like, you know, you have this team working on this, you have...
Yeah,
you know, this consultant team working on the graphics or, you know, parts of the engine that you're going to use for the game and stuff like that. It's like so overly complex that it's not like, you know, everybody who's making the game is sitting in on an office floor somewhere. It's like, you know,
it's not a bunch of monkeys in a room typing on typewriters, you know,
exactly
type of thing. It's, you know, it's a small indie company. That you know, you definitely got that family feel from them working and everything. So, but then the good thing too is that I backed Psychonauts 2 off of Fig. I think it's fig.com or something like that.
Okay.
And they've been releasing, you know, kind of short little documentaries. So it's like, oh, it's almost like I'm back to the Broken Age documentaries again.
So, well, that's cool. I mean, that's enjoyable, I guess.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, so.
I mean, hell, for my Mystery Science Theater, I just, you know, donated the money and, you know, got some little nice knickknacks at the end. But, you know, it's like they didn't do much in terms of, you know, behind the scenes kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or making of kind of thing. You know, I guess they didn't want to tip their hat too much.
Yeah.
Because it's different. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's cool. I'm going to have to, I'm in one Kickstarter for one game. It's called The Chronicles of Elleria, I guess.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be it's a huge MMO project. It's years in the making.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's going to be one of these, you know, 5-6 year projects.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, that does, you know, I'm just doing Elder Scrolls now to
pass the time.
pass the time and try out, you know, a different, because, you know, most of them are PC oriented.
And, yeah.
I just prefer, I hate to say it, but sitting in my recliner in my rec room with the PS4, you know, it's like,
oh, yeah.
With the controller rather than a keyboard, you know, punched over a keyboard. So yeah, that's the one thing Steph mentioned that I guess I could talk about it. I guess it's not. She wants to talk about two things: moving maybe to a later time and rejoining East and West.
Okay.
All right, just. Because I guess, you know, it's just been, I guess, Michelle and Mason on the West Coast. So I can understand that from her standpoint. It's kind of repetitive and duplication of effort. So, and she was thinking maybe, I hope she doesn't mind me bringing it up. That actually add, you know, if like we have now a little short game segment, actually doing what we're doing now, discussing things that are going on in the gaming industry that we like, you know, which I think is cool. I think, yeah, we had a short episode for this and it was easy to talk about. So I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, that seems fine to me. Although you'll find out like how much later she's talking about, so.
I just on the PC side, I hate. Well, at least with these games, like the ones we've been playing, they're not too graphically intense. They're not, you know, hogs system wise. Yeah. So, but you just find yourself spending, you know, $400 or $500 for just video cards just to keep up.
I know. I got to upgrade mine at some point, too. Because mine's like 3 years old.
And it's, you know, then by the time you get around to that, then it's like, well, we might as well just go get a new board and a processor while we're at it. And then I'm going to have to buy, well, you know, to get a 10 license, Microsoft 10 license.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty good. I got 16 gigs of RAM. I got a...
That's a pretty good rig.
i7 processor, so I'm pretty good equipment-wise. It's just the video card is what's kind of like...
Yeah, that's the thing that always, you know...
my back, so...
Yeah. Even, I mean, it's like they even show, you know, if you get a dual and connect them together, they're not that better than a higher-priced single, you know? It's like...
Yeah, I know, so it's just like...
And what do you do? Yeah.
I was reading that the new 1070 and 1080, the prices are being jacked up because people are buying those cards to mine crypto currency.
Oh my god.
Cuz apparently they're really efficient with mining the currency there. So and it's like jacking the prices up like $200-$300.
Oh my god! Unbelievable. Yeah,
I know.
That's insane. I mean, Well, you know, we haven't yet. I mean, we've sort of like drained out the Moore's principle on the processors. It's like slowed down to a, you know.
Yeah, it's nothing's really gone above 3 gigahertz, and it's more of making the cores more efficient with talking to each other and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
So yeah.
To the point. I mean, it's funny that they went to the, you know, it used to be, pardon, I'm dating myself, but actually putting another physical chip, another physical processor on the board.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they're just getting so small, they're just putting, you know, packing these cores on one chip.
I know, it's crazy.
And then I was watching, I don't even get into it, watching a YouTube on quantum computing.
Oh, I know.
And trying to play with quarks. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's...
How the heck are you going to do this?
I know, it's, you know, I read that every so often, and that's just... How are you even accomplishing this?
Yeah, we have just... to keep this near absolute zero. And I'm yeah. like, what are you, insane? This is going to cost $1 billion.
I know. Well, it's like they have that one quantum computer, which is basically like the size of a... take the size of a VW bug, but like twice the height of it.
Yeah, I think I saw a picture of it. I forget what the company was. Something, either MemoWare or MemeWare. Yeah,
just a big, huge black box.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, you know, probably just for most of the processor. But, I mean, I come from the days of IBM 3090s that were big as, you know, I'd have to, I mean, God, we had, well, that's funny. You know, I've seen it all. Kind of where big water cooled processors, real water cooled processors,
yeah,
with doors had to be 8 foot long and you know, 4 foot, 5 foot high,
yeah,
you know, and it had water, chilled, distilled water being pumped around it to keep it cool, you know, it was like, damn, and now we're down to,
I know, it's like you're down to the, like with the Raspberry Pis, it's
The little it's about it's the size of a credit card.
Yeah,
yep.
And it's just and the power that you get off of those is just amazing.
Yeah, I remember reading an article back when Bill Gates was actually playing with the idea of, you know, reversing this sort of thing instead of going with, you know, one big, you know, or hyperchips, you know, kind of thing, that ganging up all these smaller, you know, 8-bit chips, which is actually kind of what they're doing with the core technology now. They're just doing it on a substrate, you know, the substrate they're doing it on.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Yes. And I'm sure if anyone's been listening to this recording, they've fallen asleep by now.
Yes. But it's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
It is.
But it's how do you think these guys, these graphic designers do these 3D games? You
know? I know, yeah.
And the software that drives, I mean, I can't even. Well, that's where all the artists are going these days. Gaming.
Oh, yep.
So this should be interesting.
Yes.
So I guess what's a good? You've played through, so what's a good like so, hour and a half, 2 hour?
Yeah, I would say when you switch back to Shay.
Okay, so there you have a whole new sort of chapter with.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
In the ship.
Yes. And if I remember correctly, I want to say that part two is a little shorter, but it really all depends on...
how quick you get the puzzles.
Yeah, on how quick you get through the puzzles, so... Yeah. But yeah, it's interesting going back through the same levels, but with a different character, because stuff is slightly different. Stuff is kind of broken.
And I imagine the auto displays or whatever, the scenarios react.
Yes.
To her kind of like, woo.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody was saying That reminds me, the train guy, after you go in the the train room after you crash,
yep,
you're banned for life.
Yes, yeah.
They said that guy is actually a caricature from something else. It's like ticket. Is it Ticket to Ride? Maybe, I don't know.
It might.
Is there another game? Yeah, somebody had it on a board, so I was just poking around looking for a solution to something.
Oh, okay.
They said, "Oh yeah, that's the ticket taker from this other game."
Yeah, I can't remember what the name is though.
All these little
So.
All right.
All right. It's been a shorter one, but that's fine.
Yeah, we need Stephanie to fill.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Same bad time, same bad channel.
Yep. We'll see you later.
You got it.
Bye.